First of all, I want to say welcome if you're watching us on Facebook Live. We're glad you're here, glad that you're worshiping with us today. We hope that you are blessed by what you experience. So at the end of the Korean conflict, as is often the case when there is a war or a military conflict between nations, in South Korea there were a large number of children who were left orphans by the war. And so a number of relief agencies came into South Korea to address that issue and to help to provide for those young people. And it was interesting, those who were housing orphans in orphanages, some of them found an interesting challenge. And that was, even though they were providing three meals a day for the children every day, at nighttime, when it was time for the children to go to bed, they had a rising anxiety and worry and fretting and insecurity about whether there would be food for them the next day. And so in one of those orphanages, the relief workers came up with an interesting way to address this challenge. Every night, as the children were being put to bed, each one of them was given a slice of bread. And it wasn't that they were supposed to eat it before they went to sleep. It was that they would hold on to it as they went to sleep as a reminder that their needs would be provided the next day. And with that security blanket of a slice of bread, the children were able to relax and give up their anxiety and go to sleep. So food insecurity can cause a great deal of anxiety. And food insecurity is not something new in our century. Food insecurity happens in all kinds of ways, in all kinds of places, in places of conflict, in places of disaster, in places of poverty. And food insecurity was even present in Jesus' time, maybe even more so. And perhaps that's why in the Lord's Prayer, we have this petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." So we have been looking at the Lord's Prayer in this season of Lent, the prayer that is the most well-known prayer ever, probably, known by over 2 billion Christians across the world. Many of us have memorized this prayer. It is close to our hearts. It rises up sometimes when we don't have words to say because we can call on it so easily. It rises up in moments of crisis, in moments of joy and thanksgiving. But because it's so close to our lips, I think there are times when we just say it by rote. We don't really think about what we're saying. And this prayer, it's so rich. There's so much to be found in this prayer. In fact, this is a prayer to be savored, to be pondered, to be explored. And so that's what we're doing in Lent. We're looking at each of the phrases and savoring them week by week. And so we began, if you were here, we began, you know, with the first of the phrases. So let's look at what that first phrase is and say that together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so last week, you savored the second phrase with our lay leader, Stephen Greenway. Let's look at what that is and say that together. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now we get to the next phrase. Let's say that together. Give us today our daily bread. Now, what's interesting about this phrase is it's sort of the centerpiece of the prayer. And in fact, it's kind of a hinge for the prayer because everything up to this point has been focused solely on God. And now the prayer begins to focus on human beings and what human beings need. And this is the first of three petitions for human beings. A petition that is very specifically about giving us the food we need for today. Give us today our daily bread. But really, daily bread is going to be different for different people. So the way we begin to know this is by understanding what this word daily comes from. It comes from this Greek word. This is the Greek word that's translated as daily, epiousios. And this Greek word is a very interesting and very mysterious word. This word is found only twice in all of Scripture. Here in Matthew, in the Lord's Prayer, and then again in Luke, in the Lord's Prayer. Nowhere else. And you don't find it in ancient Greek literature either. What scholars believe is that this is a word that was made up because the Greek language did not have a word that was a direct translation of the Aramaic word that Jesus would have used here for daily. And so whoever wrote down this prayer for the first time put together two parts of the Greek language. The first part is this prefix, which is epi, and that can mean to or in or on or at. It's a prefix that denotes a spatial relationship. And then this second word, ousios, which means being or substance or essence. And so a literal translation of epiousios would be something like in essence or on substance or at being. It is the idea of that which is necessary for us to be. And so one way to translate this daily bread is give us today the bread we need in order to be. The bread we need in order to have essence. Give us today the bread we need to survive, even. And for some people, this prayer is a matter of praying for daily survival. I think of the families that are served by Rockbrook Elementary, our partner school down the street and around the corner. A high percentage of those students qualify for free or reduced breakfast and lunch. And for many of those children, Monday through Friday, they come in hungry in the morning, and those two meals are the only meals they get. So that leads me to wonder, what do those families do on the weekends? What do those families do in the summertime? For some of those families, to pray this prayer is to pray, God, give us today what I need to feed myself and my child. I think about the 10% of the residents of Louisville who live below the poverty line and who have to make a choice some days between paying the rent and buying groceries. I think of the ever-increasing homeless population in Louisville, many of them who live in tents behind the big Walmart on Main Street, who don't have pantries, who don't have refrigerators, who wonder where their next meal is coming from. I wonder about the people of southwestern Africa, in Mozambique, and in Zimbabwe and Malawi. One of the statistics coming out of UNICEF is they anticipate that 900,000 children have been affected by this cyclone. The area around landfall, the city of Beta, 90% of it has been destroyed. People's livelihoods, people's crops, people's homes have been destroyed. And they do not know where their next meal is coming from. For some people, to pray this prayer, it's a matter of daily survival. Give us today what we need in order to be in this world. Now, for most of us in this room, I don't think that's where we live. We are people who, in our homes, we have full pantries and full refrigerators and full freezers. We know where our next meal's coming from. We know that we've got plans to go to Rosa's or to McAllister's Deli or to go home and eat the roast that's in the crock pot. We know where our next meal is coming from. I think it's important for us to recognize that this prayer does not say, give me this day my daily bread. It is give us Give us this day our daily bread. Give us, give all of us, give all of God's children what we need in order to be in this world. Now, when someone who doesn't know where their next meal is coming from prays that, do you think they expect to come home and find a roast in the crock pot? I don't think so. We know that's not usually how this works. But I would suggest that God does answer the prayer, and sometimes, oftentimes, it's through you and me. We have been blessed with abundance. We have been blessed to be a blessing. And sometimes God answers that prayer through us. This is a community of people that has been extraordinarily generous in blessing others who are hungry. Did you know last year that Vista Ridge United Methodist Church gave over 6,700 food items to the CCA food pantry, which is a source of food for many of those who live below the poverty line? Did you know that last summer, Vista Ridge United Methodist Church provided over 550 lunch bags to be given out by the Salvation Army to families who rely on free breakfast and lunch during the school year but did not have access to that in the summer? Did you know that in a few weeks, we have the opportunity to bring peanut butter and macaroni and cheese to supply the emergency food pantry at the Salvation Army to help them to feed through their dining hall lunch to many of the homeless in our area? Did you know that the annual conferences, the three annual conferences of the United Methodist Church in Mozambique, are already providing shelter and food to many of those displaced by the cyclone? Did you know that the United Methodist Committee on Relief has already been on the ground providing emergency food rations and clean water tablets and shelter in Mozambique and in Zimbabwe and Malawi? And did you know that you have the opportunity to be a part of that? You can give today, if you feel led to. You can give to Vista Ridge, and you can text to give. That number right there, just put UMCOR in the text that you send back, and what you give will go directly to the United Methodist Committee on Relief to go to that cyclone-affected area. You can also do that by putting a check on the offering plate and just putting UMCOR on that. You can do it online through our giving portal. But you can be a part of helping and being a blessing to those who do not know where their next meal is coming from in southwestern Africa. We've been blessed to be a blessing. And this is a community that is extraordinarily generous. When you know that there are people who are hungry, who are physiologically hungry. And you know, the generous people I know are some of the happiest people I know. But I've also seen that oftentimes the unhappiest people I know are the hungriest people I know. And I'm not talking about physiologically hungry. I'm talking about a hunger for meaning, for depth, for purpose, for value, for community, for security, for safety. And sometimes what I see is that we feel this hunger, this heart hunger, and we think the way that we fill that hunger is by stuff, by things, by more and more money, by safety and security. But in the end, what we find out is that doesn't feed us. And I really think that's what Jesus is addressing in this other part of the Sermon on the Mount that Gail read to us today. This teaching that is about worry, where he says, don't worry about what you are going to eat. Don't worry about your clothing. I think this can be a hard passage to hear in our time because we look around and there's so much to be worried about. There's so much to be anxious about. How am I to not be worried? How am I not to be anxious? But I think what Jesus is talking about here is our search for security and the restless anxiety that leads us to stuff and to always working at making it happen for ourselves. A restless anxiety that indicates that our heart has not yet found its true home. And what Jesus is calling us to here is faith. Faith as trust in God, that God will provide what we need. God will provide what is necessary for us to be. And that's going to be different for all of us. But the good news is, God knows our hungry hearts. And in Jesus, we have bread that satisfies the hungriest heart. So in the Gospel of John, there's this wonderful story about bread. Tiffany mentioned it just in passing. Did y'all talk about that in Sunday school today? Okay. So it's this wonderful story about Jesus who goes up on the mountain and thousands of people follow him up there. And they're there listening to him teach for 3 days. 3 days. Can you imagine camping out with 3 days to listen to somebody teach? And at the end of the 3 days, Jesus knows they're hungry, physiologically hungry. And he is going to feed that physiological hunger with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's a miracle. 5 loaves and 2 fish fill these thousands of people. It's a miracle because not only does he feed them all, but there's a ton left over. Their hunger has been fed. But there are some other people in the crowd who have a different kind of hunger, and they don't quite yet know how to satisfy that hunger. And they come to Jesus. And in some ways, it sounds like they're trying to trip him up because they're wanting him to feed them. And he says, they say to him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And then Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So this story in the Gospel of John is a story of the Eucharist, of communion. He doesn't have a story of communion at the Last Supper in the Gospel of John. He has this story of the feeding of the 5,000. We're going to come to the table in a few moments. And as we come to the table, we're going to receive the bread of life. It's a physical and tangible reminder that in Jesus, our hungry hearts are fed. We are given the bread we need in order to be in this world as the people of God. Our hungry hearts are fed. John Wesley, the father of Methodism, said about communion, it is the duty of every Christian to partake in communion as often as they can. And some people say you should take communion every day. It's hard to do when you're not a pastor, right? Don Underwood, who is a pastor and who wrote the book Pray Like Jesus, which is about the Lord's Prayer, he talks about how he went through a time when he felt like that should happen every day, and he was able to do that. But he began to realize that praying this prayer every day is a way of engaging in the bread of life, especially as we pray this centerpiece of the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Because the bread of life is not limited to this table. The bread of life is available to us at all times. So we're going to move into praying this prayer together. And It's going to be before you on the screens. It's also in this insert that has different translations of the Lord's Prayer. We're going to pray together the one that is the New Century Version, that translation of the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to savor this. And we're going to especially savor the phrase about bread, about food. To sit with that for a moment. So would you join me as we pray together the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father in heaven, may your name always be kept holy. May your kingdom come, and what you want be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us the food we need for each day, for our sins, just as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. And do not cause us to be tempted, but save us from the evil one. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours forever. Amen.